This is Dial a Saint introducing St. Thomas More. Statesmen and politicians looking for a role model in their work will find no one better than Thomas More of England. Thomas was born in the year 1478 and impressed his teachers by his intelligence. When he was 13, his father, who was himself a lawyer and judge, placed him in the household of the Archbishop of Canterbury, who recognized his talents and later sent him to Oxford to study. The ideas of the Renaissance were popular in England, which led his father to fear they could easily distract his son from serious study. He limited Thomas to just enough spending money to cover only his necessities, leaving nothing for his personal expenses. Even though the young student grumbled, he admitted later that this kept him out of trouble and directed him toward his studies, in which he excelled. His father entered him in law school, from which he graduated in 1501, and then in 1504 he entered Parliament at the age of 26. Ahead of him lay a promising career in private law practice and a busy personal life as a law school lecturer, a public orator who was very much in demand, and a personal friend with some of the best thinkers in Europe. He also enjoyed writing. His book Utopia is widely read today, and he left an unfinished historical work studying the life of Richard III. Thomas was deeply religious and attended daily Mass. He did penances and fasted, and as a private mortification, wore a rough shirt of hair against his skin for 40 years, from the time he was about 18 until the day before he was executed. He was married and had 4 children. His home reflected his personal life. Each night the family and servants met together for reading and discussion of the scriptures, followed by night prayers. He was concerned about the poor and often walked to the homes of the needy to visit and offer assistance. His neighbors were often invited for supper and were joined frequently by his colleagues from London and the Continent. King Henry VII died in 1509. His successor was named Henry VIII, and with his rise to power influenced the life of Thomas More. Henry VIII had known Thomas to be a man of character, honesty, and a good companion in conversation, and tried to persuade Thomas to give up his law practice and accept a political court appointment. More out of duty than desire for personal wealth, Thomas reluctantly agreed, and in 1529 was offered the position of Lord Chancellor. Cardinal Wolsey, who had held this job before and had fallen out of favor with the king, admitted that Thomas was clearly the best choice. But Thomas viewed his relationship with Henry VIII realistically when he said, "I have no reason to be proud in this job, because if my head would win the king a castle in France, it should not fail to come off." Thomas accepted the new position with one condition, that he not become involved in the growing religious dispute between the Pope and Henry. Henry wanted to get a divorce from his wife so he could marry Anne Boleyn, his latest girlfriend. The king agreed to this condition, and Thomas accepted the job. It was said that as Lord Chancellor, Thomas made a lasting reputation by administering justice tempered with mercy and humor. He became widely known as both a good judge and a true friend of the poor. Problems began when the Pope refused to grant Henry the divorce. The king passed a decree naming himself as protector and supreme head of the Church of England. Then he declared his present marriage invalid in order to marry Anne Boleyn, and then took over for himself the incomes of all the bishops in the country. Thomas openly opposed this decree, and felt that he had no other choice but to resign from the post which he had held for only 3 years. The king was not pleased. Without his salary, Thomas had little money, but jokingly told his family that they all might have to go out begging with him for food. Pressure from Anne Boleyn, the king's new wife, and from Oliver Cromwell, the king's adviser, required Thomas to not only take an oath to recognize Anne Boleyn's children as rightful heirs to the throne, but to deny that the Pope had any jurisdiction in England. Thomas refused, and so was confined in the Tower of London. His land and property was taken away, and his family was reduced to poverty. His wife was forced to even sell some of her clothes in order to pay the bills. During his 15-month confinement, he was allowed to see his family, particularly his favorite, Margaret, and also certain visitors who tried to persuade him to change his mind. Eventually, his freedom to his visitors was taken away, and so he spent his time in prayer and writing the Dialogue of Comfort Against Tribulation. The king wanted to quiet all opposition to his takeover of the church and enacted new laws called the Acts of Supremacy. Now it became an act of treason punishable by death to say that the king was not the supreme head of the Church of England. Thomas was charged falsely that he had spoken out against these acts, and so was condemned to death. Thomas answered before the court that a small part of Christ's church could not make a law which disagreed with the Catholic faith, just as the city of London could not pass a law to be binding upon the entire country. He concluded in thanking the judges whom he knew, and said that he hoped they would all meet with him in heaven merrily to their everlasting salvation. The day before his execution, he sent his hair shirt to his daughter and received a note from the king, who was still fearful of his powers of persuasion, asking that he not take a long time to talk before he was beheaded. Thomas replied that the king had taught him that he should look first to God and then after God to the king. He concluded, "I will die the king's good servant, but God's first." He went calmly, almost lightheartedly, to his death, while it was said there was not a dry eye among the spectators. He encouraged the headsman to do a good job, pulled his beard to one side so it would not be cut by the axe, and so died at the age of 57. As was the custom, his head was placed on a stake on London Bridge, but was later obtained by his daughter. His body is buried at St. Dunstan's Church in Canterbury. Winston Churchill had this to say about St. Thomas More: "He stood forth as a defender of all that was finest in the medieval outlook. He represents to history its universality, its belief in spiritual values, and its intrinsic sense of otherworldliness." Thomas More was declared to be a saint in heaven in 1935. Those in public or private life who use their talents as actively and energetically each day as did Thomas More must honestly ask themselves if what they accomplish is done first because they love God, and secondly because they love others. There can be no better motivation. Thank you for calling Dial a Saint. Recorded stories about Mary, the saints, and other literature is available, as well as free handouts to share with friends. To receive these, you may leave your name and address, but please spell difficult words, or you may write to Dial a Saint, Post Office Box 228, Vienna, Virginia, 22183. A new saint will be introduced next Sunday. Thank you for calling, and please call again.